let's get this rolling. I'll start my timer going so I don't lose my time. I'm Craig Stewart, and I look after product management at SnapLogic. And I've actually been at SnapLogic now for 4.5 years. It's a bit frightening sometimes when you say it quickly. But one of the what we're focused on is connecting data. That's what SnapLogic is about. And connecting data, applications, and getting the information out of that data. So let me give you a little bit of information about us. Most of this presentation will actually be demo, so I can actually show you how we interact with the components of Cortana and what we actually do to bring data into this environment. So ultimately we connect data, and you see there Gaurav's quote saying that the tools that have been in place, that have been in use up to this point, simply can't keep up with this new era. And in the keynote we just came out of, we were talking about, you know, things have changed significantly in terms of what people's expectations of what they can do with the data is. And we're focused on connecting data, applications, and things. Now, Gaurav is a very appropriate person to actually have that quote. He should know, after all, he was one of the founders and longtime CEO of Informatica, who are one of the main integration vendors in the space today. And those of you that were here yesterday will have seen Ron showing some of that that technology in action. Well, Gaurav has been the CEO of SnapLogic now for the past 5 years, and actually developed a whole new platform focused on this new era of big data, social, mobile, and particularly cloud. And we're seeing more and more companies actually taking the step forward into using the technology of the cloud and taking advantage of it for all those reasons that we were talking about earlier this morning. And if you look at some of those customers, these are not just small internet startups in the valley. The likes of GE and AstraZeneca, these companies are actually looking to get significant benefit out of using the technology of the cloud, and SnapLogic is actually enabling them to get there. So where we fit is that there should be a single integration technology that addresses all of that volume, variety, velocity, thank you. you always lose it when you're up on stage. Thank you for helping me. So we built from the ground up a new platform that actually addresses this need. And it is different to the traditional ESB or ETL type technologies. It's a streaming platform that actually is able to deal with the variety of data. And today, the cloud applications, the application integration side of it, is dealing with complex documents. It's not dealing with the rows and columns that we may have been just dealing with out of databases in the past. And I'll show you some of that shortly. So you'll actually see that the complexity of the problem that we're dealing with is very different to that which was addressed by legacy ETL tools. And the ESB tools of yesteryear can't deal with the volumes that are being dealt with. And so we see ourselves actually filling in that gap in the middle, where we deal with the volume through our streaming technology, but also the real-time aspects that is encompassed by the ESB. Now, in this diagram, we deliberately haven't gone into the corners, because there is absolutely still a space that is occupied by the systems that deal with the high-frequency tradings and those kind of things. We would love to play in that space, but taking a realistic view of it, the tools that need to do those extremes are very specific. But we have customers moving some incredible volumes of data through the SnapLogic platform today. I think when I looked earlier in the week, there were nearly 53 billion documents in the trailing 30 days that had been through the SnapLogic platform. So there's no shortage of data being moved through the platform. Now, one of the common use cases is, of course, analytics, getting data to where it can be actually dealt with. But the target may be putting that data into a data store, whether it's HD Insights, whether it's Azure SQL Data Warehouse or whatever. That's the relatively easy bit. The real value comes in being able to reach out to the variety of different applications that there are out there, the sources of that data. Because it's the traditional applications that we see on premise, the likes of the Oracle E-Business Suites and the SAPs, the transactional systems that many customers have been working with, and their legacy application databases, all of those things, as well as today, this increasing number of cloud-type applications, the Salesforce, Workday, ServiceNow, those kind of applications where an increasing amount of the data is actually coming from. So by being able to reach all of those different aspects, and we have over 300 different connections, 300 different snaps, as we call them, that are in use. And they are in use across a very wide variety of different companies. And some of those companies, looking at this slide, we have the likes of GE that are actually using us to connect some of their applications like SAP and Qualys and various different, SAP, an on-premise system, lots of legacy, lots of the issues of accessing those legacy systems. And at the other end of the scale, Qualys, which is a cloud-based application that their security team are using. And the volumes and the variety of that data, when we get data back, for instance, from Qualys, it's coming back as a humongous XML document. SAP gives you a complex, structured document that comes back when you are talking to it. And actually being able to deal with that variety is really important. if we take a slightly different view, the likes of Yelp. Yelp is, you know, a very big data-oriented company down in the valley. I believe they're actually using a Postgres-based cloud database. One of two of you may have heard of that. As I recall, it's by another company here in Seattle. They are moving huge volumes of data every day into that environment. And they're pulling that from their MySQL and other databases that are running their day-to-day web infrastructure. So there's a whole variety of different applications that companies are actually using. And you know, analytics is one of the biggest that we see in play. A very interesting customer of ours is Adobe. And Adobe actually, when they were looking for the technology, they were actually looking for something that could bring them up to date. They already had in play within their company a number of different integration technologies, but all of those technologies are rooted back in the 90s and beyond. And the challenge that they had was that there was a proliferation of different technologies, each addressing a single use case. And what we've seen Adobe actually do is embrace SnapLogic as the single integration technology that they're using. And they're using that to feed their analytics systems, both those that they're using internally, using things like SAP HANA, and also cloud-based systems like the Redshift system, and also increasingly now actually feeding into a Hadoop infrastructure as well. They're also using it for the transactional stuff. Every time a sale goes through their transactional systems, that's now being processed by SnapLogic in comping all of their salespeople. So they're doing the extremes within their business of the different use cases. And one of the things that they've actually adopted is this phrase that Gartner use of the citizen integrator. And this is, you know, the technology of integration needs to be approachable. It needs to be able to be used by more than just the IT team. If it's just the IT guys that are using it, when some department, as they did at Target, rings up and says, I need to get this data from YouTube and I need to put it into my marketing database, they say, we can slot you in 6 months' time. And if you're being driven, as many organizations are today, to deliver quickly, that's just not feasible. So one of the things that, and you'll see this shortly when I go into the product, is we have made SnapLogic very, very much more applicable to be used by a very much wider group of people. You still need to know about the data that you're dealing with, but we abstract away the complexity of actually dealing with those different applications. So, what is the SnapLogic Elastic Integration Platform? Well, it's actually made up of a number of different parts. The first part up there in the cloud, on the left-hand side, is what we call the control plane. That's the visual part of SnapLogic. That's the application that you use to build your integration tasks, to build the metadata that says, this is what I'm actually going to do. And we separate from the control, we separate what it's actually going to deal with the data. So the data is dealt with in what we call the Snapplex. And the Snapplex can be hosted and run as a service for you in the cloud, or it can be deployed near to where your data is. That may be in your data center, you may be deploying it in your Azure infrastructure. It's up to you where you may actually deploy that. And that basically is made up of a set of nodes, can be running on Windows or Linux, up to you where you deploy that. It will then connect back to the control plane to get the metadata of any integration task. And that then is where the data is actually going to be dealt with. So that can be either in the cloud or on-premise, or as many customers are doing, in a hybrid model, where you use a combination of the two to actually deal with the data in the locations where it is near. So in very much the same way that things like HD Insights is put the processing near to the data, that's the real important thing that we do here. So that enables you to be able to run the processing near to the data. That can be, as I say, in a standard Snapplex in the cloud or on the on-premise, but also we have what we call the Hadoopplex, which is the Snapplex actually running inside a Hadoop infrastructure as a YARN managed application. And what that enables it to do is actually run natively inside the Hadoop infrastructure and get the elastic scalability that that Hadoop infrastructure then offers. So as you need to use, as you need to execute more things, that will just simply scale out across the Hadoop cluster. And so we've validated that and we're certified on Hortonworks as well as Cloudera. And we are working actively with Microsoft to actually get that hosted in the HD Insights environment as well. So, a couple of things about the platform. The model that we use for moving data is a streaming data model, which allows us to deal with small volumes of data and move those frequently, or large volumes of data and to be able to move that through a pipeline, but without having to burn out all of the memory and to require to scale up. We scale out as we need to, and that allows us to, you can add nodes to the infrastructure as and when required, in much the same way as we saw yesterday with the data warehouse functionality. And as I say, it runs both in the cloud, on-premise, and on Hadoop. So when we look at this slide, which I think in every presentation we see, where SnapLogic fits is getting the data into the environment so that you can actually then use the smarts of the Cortana environment to actually get that into a meaningful way of displaying that and providing that insight to people. So we interface at all sorts of different layers. So let me just take a quick, I just wanted to pull together the different layers that we see and where we actually are integrating. So firstly, Azure Blob as the file system infrastructure, essentially, of the whole Cortana environment is directly supported. That's just a first-class file system that we use for reading and writing data. Okay? SQL database and SQL data warehouse, though the interface to those, because that has maintained the T-SQL compatibility, is out of the box. So we have the file protocol support out of the box for Blob, for data warehouse and database. For HD Insights, obviously, firstly, getting the data into Azure Blob then makes it available to HD Insights. And we also have native support for HDFS and Web HDFS. So the Azure Data Lake, whose interface is Web HDFS. That is, again, out-of-the-box functionality, which we can provide and customers can take advantage of immediately. Azure Active Directory, firstly, is supported simply by virtue of all of those other things are using Azure as the authentication. The Active Directory is the authentication into those environments. But we also actually have snaps that allow us to interface into Active Directory. So you can use it to do the provisioning and those things. One of the common use cases that we have is customers actually using SnapLogic for provisioning in their environment, interfacing to things like Workday and the other HR systems. Azure Power BI, of course, Power BI, firstly, is going to be on top of these different data sources, but also through the REST API, we can drive the data directly into those at the same time as we may be directing that data into data warehouse, database, or blob. And Data Factory is very much the process layer that deals with trying to get the data in and coordinating those processes. And that can actually leverage SnapLogic to do some of that ingestion to actually reach out to those different applications. For tables and queues and service bus, that are things that we're actually planning on adding functionality for, adding snaps for. Building snaps is not a huge effort, and an example of that is we recently signed our relationship with Microsoft last month, and the first result of that is actually available for customers now in the form of, if I go into the SnapLogic Designer here, you'll actually see that Azure protocol to get data into Azure Blob, we just use the same file writer that we have with the other protocols, whether that's FTP or native file systems or HDFS, and we can go directly into Azure Blob now. So we just use the Azure protocol. And if I just go across to the account, obviously we put in there the information that's required, what's the user and what's the access key that that user is going to use. And that's all we need to be able to do to make it very easy for the developer to actually get the data into Azure Blob. So that's what I've done here is I'm logged into SnapLogic, so I'm at a cloud application. I've actually gone to our Snap pod here. And when I've gone to that, logged into the application, it brings up the designer. So the designer is where we are right now. And in the designer, you can see here I've got a pipeline made up of these blocks. These blocks are what we call the snaps. The snaps come out of these different snap packs that we see on the left. And the different snap packs are a collection of snaps that address different application, technology, or transformation. And you'll see in here quite a wide variety of different applications. So the major enterprise applications, both on-premise and in the cloud. So the on-premise applications like Oracle E-Business Suite, SQL Server, and the cloud applications like Dynamics CRM, Dynamics AX, as well as the things like Salesforce, Workday, and ServiceNow. So we've got an array of different technologies that we support out of the box. So that when you want to go and actually get data into your Cortana environment to actually be able to use that, we have that very wide range of different technologies. We have done the hard work of interfacing to those APIs. Yes, the APIs are relatively easy to use, but who wants to write the code around a REST API to unpack the XML that comes out of it so that you can then deal with it. All of that is overhead that is stuff that is repeatable. And we should be able to do that very much more easily. So let me just actually move across into a different environment here. Someone's been using my infrastructure. So I've actually got a pipeline here that I'm looking at, which is an integration between Salesforce and SAP. And one of the things with Salesforce, like many of the applications that come out of applications today, the data that these things give you is not in a neat relational structure. It's a nested structure. In this case, we have an opportunity with the price book, order details. So it's a very much an unstructured document, which in my mind, I've always struggled with that because it's structured to me. I can see the structure. Salesforce give this to us in this complex nested infrastructure. We don't have to deal with any unpacking of that. SnapLogic deals natively with documents. So when I say we have a streaming infrastructure, we are streaming documents in our infrastructure. And we stream a document, so in this case, the opportunity, the customer information, the order information, the line items, all of that as a single document is what passes through SnapLogic. And that enables us to be able to deal very effectively. And we do it in JSON. So there is not the overhead of the DOM infrastructure of XML. And that gives us performance. So when we're dealing with documents, we can deal with a huge variety. So whether it's JSON, XML, Avro, or whatever, or even just a relational structure, because a relational structure fits really neatly into a JSON document, but take a complex XML document and try and put that into a relational structure, I've felt that pain before. And so we deal automatically with all of that. No effort on the part of the developer to need to deal with that. Okay, so let's just actually take a quick look at how do we build something like this. So let me just go in here and I'm just going to say, create a new pipeline. And I can go out to any one of the different applications that I might have, whether it's Salesforce. I know I've got access to an Oracle system here, and we'd obviously like to get the data out of Oracle and into Blob to make it useful. So I'm going to go and read from the sales database that I've got. We automatically introspect onto the metadata of each of these different applications. In the case of a database, things like the schema and the tables, so that I can just pull those out directly. And if I just save that, I've said I want to pull up the table out of that Minerva U table, and it gives us a preview of what that data is going to look like. So very quickly, I can be doing things like that. I could, if I wanted, I've got a full set of other things I can do with the data. I can do aggregates, I can do joins, I can filter, I can merge, I can take the formatting, move it into different formats of data. So that's the transform snap pack. In the flow snap pack, I can do the things like copying and routing. I've got all of those. And under the binary snap pack, I've got all sorts of other things, including the reading and writing. So here I'm going to take that data out of Oracle. I'm going to take a JSON formatter. I'm going to chuck it out into Blob. And let's get the file writer. and drop that together there. If I actually turn the sound up here, you'll see that as I connect and disconnect those things, it makes that happy, snappy sound, which, as you can imagine, most developers then hit the mute button. And in the file writer here, I can go in and say, no, that's not what I want to say. I can select the account I'm going to use and the Azure account that I was using earlier. And then I can go in here and say, I'm going to put it into Azure. I give it the bucket name, and I just need to remind myself what the bucket that I'm using is. SnapLogic, good. And let's call this 2423.json. Okay, and if I save that, when I save it, it automatically validates to make sure that's all going to work. I've got quite a lot of rows in that table, so I'm just going to do a limit there of, let's say, 100,000 rows of data. And I can then execute this. Now, when I choose to execute this, I have a set of Snapplexes that I could choose from. Some of these may be in the cloud, some of them may be on-premise, some of them may be Hadoop. I can choose wherever, whatever of those I might like to use. So I'm just going to choose that cloud dev. When I execute this, the metadata is then given to the Plex, and the Plex, isn't that great? It did tell me exactly what I'd done, and that's I hadn't got enough slashes in there. So when I run this now, this is now pulling that data. And if I look at the preview here, you can see it's pulling 80,000 rows a second out of Oracle, pulled 80,000 rows a second out of Oracle, and wrote that into Azure Blob. So in the overall execution time there, 7 seconds to pull out, 100,000 rows of data. And that's including starting this thing up and finishing it. And just so that you can see that that is, let's just go to my Explorer. I've always wondered why it's called CyberDuck. But down here I've got my Explorer, so I can actually go in and look. Under the SnapLogic, there's that JSON file that I actually wrote of data into Azure. So that's just now ready to be processed in HD Insights or then loaded into SQL Data Warehouse or something else. It's already in that infrastructure. The performance of this is actually quite awesome in comparison to other cloud file systems. I've been really impressed with Azure, actually. So that's getting the data up there. That's actually a really simple example. Let's go back in here and back into the demo. So when we actually run a task, any tasks that we're actually running, as you see here, I was just building this pipeline and I very quickly pulled together, pulling that data out of Oracle, formatting it and writing it into Azure Blob. Our objective here is to have a user interface that is very intuitive for customers to use, to be able to understand what they're doing, but get that abstraction layer that takes away the complexity of interacting with those applications and needing to know the complexities of the APIs of the different applications. So if I just go across into here, as you can see, even with something as complex as SAP, when we actually use something like SAP, we're just using the name of, in this case, a BAPI that we want to actually execute. And as part of that, when we do that, here in the mapper beforehand, you can see it gives us the whole schema and all the fields that we might need to actually use. And it gives us that in the structure that it deals with. And you know, that's one of the things with these applications that you're dealing, that you may be dealing with, is that the structures of data aren't just that flat infrastructure. They are often complex, detailed infrastructures, and we can deal with that natively within the product. And you'll see here, if I just expand these, you'll see, you know, based on the input data here and what we're actually pushing out in terms of the complexity of the document that we're having to fire out, we deal with that in natively. So you've seen actually how we build those different the pipelines, and we don't need to know in advance how we're going to be using that, because any pipeline can be triggered. You saw me run the pipeline using the run button here. But pipelines can also be set up as what we call a task. And if you set up a task, let's just go to my directory in here. You'll see that in here I've got a number of tasks I've set up. And the task can be a number of different things. One, it can be a scheduled task. So there's a built-in scheduler so that you can execute things on a regular basis. So if I go in here and say I want to create a new task, this is going to come bring up the window for me to actually create a task. It could be scheduled. It could be triggered. Any task can be exposed as a URL, and that URL can be invoked from anywhere. Obviously, there's authentication, either token-based or user-based authentication that's used to actually enable that. That can be restricted to within your firewall or available as a cloud endpoint as well. We also have what we call ultra tasks, and ultra tasks are the ones that we see getting quite a lot of adoption. This is where the task is always running. It's always on, ready to receive inputs. And we see that that is able to process data. You can traverse the pipeline with an overhead of less than 10 milliseconds. So there's no process invocation overhead. You just take the input document, process it through the pipeline, and return to the caller. So a 10 millisecond overhead is a reasonable overhead, but as I said earlier, we're not looking to be in that extreme bottom left-hand corner of the real-time trading systems. We are being realistic here of this is what we can do. And what we see this being used for is not only the business operations, the order processing and those kind of things, but we also see it being used by companies and our customers to take the feed from devices. Because each task that we define can take an input payload, and it can return a payload if you want it to. And that capability of being able to be called with a not only a GET, but also a POST, and actually posting data in to be processed, every pipeline can be invoked in these different ways. So it can be invoked manually, it can be triggered, it can be run as an ultra task. And that ultra task, then we also allow you to create multiple instances. So if you need greater throughput in your environment, you can have multiple instances of that running. If I go across into the dashboard is where we monitor the infrastructure that we've actually got in place. And you can see here on the left-hand side the different Snapplexes that I've got. And in my environment here, each of these, if I drill into one, you can then look at the status of it. You can see how it's configured and what it's actually doing, what it's uses of the different resources are. We can look at the execution. One of the important things about those Snapplexes, by the way, is if we run them as a service, they just run as a service for our customers. You get just access through the user interface to be able to execute your tasks. But if you actually want to be able to deploy those yourself near to your data, they can be, as I said, on Windows servers, on Linux servers, it's up to you. That includes having been validated in the Azure environment as well. So if you want to use Azure Compute resources to do this, absolutely. And we are working with Microsoft to actually get that enabled in the Azure Marketplace so that you can actually just go and provision those automatically through the Azure Marketplace as well. And that, trying to make that a seamless environment so that that can be used by customers with very little resistance. So inside the monitoring, we can look at the specific tasks that are running. We can look at the execution history, what's happened, what's completed, what's failed. Anything that does fail, for instance, you've got the information there about what actually failed. If you then want to drill into the further detail behind that, that one's not got any logs because it's not in the right place. Let me see if I can find one that should have some logs behind it as well. No, that one's not got logs up there either. But if there, if it's executed on an environment that is putting those logs available, they will be then visible through this user interface as well. So you can see where it's executed, who executed it, and you can link directly out to the task or the pipeline that's actually been executed. So all of this gives you a very capable environment to be able to get data into the Azure environment in the most effective way. That wide range of different technologies that we can reach, and that's all of those with that same degree of simplicity. That includes, for those applications that we don't have snaps for, we have a SOAP snap, so you can just go and call out. I'm doing one here in this pipeline. You provide it the WSDL URL, and then you can just generate from that the necessary SOAP envelope and put in the data that you're actually going to use to actually be able to execute that. And so we can do SOAP requests. That's obviously pretty much table stakes. We also have a REST snap pack, so you can do, you interact with REST services directly as well. Obviously, JDBC and JMS interfaces as well. So that gives you the set of protocols as well as the set of applications. Okay, so let me just switch back here and just give you a little bit more information now. So what do we see is different about the SnapLogic in Elastic Integration? One, it's a single product, a single platform that does the whole range of different integration capabilities, whether that's getting data to and from applications, which traditionally been done by ESB tools, or the large volume movement of data, which traditionally was done by ETL. That user interface that you saw, designed with today's user in mind, it's a modern user interface based on HTML5, no software to install. What you see is all there. Okay, that drag and drop environment that makes it very productive. The modern approach of the Snapplex being deployable near to where your data is, that hybrid approach, being able to deploy it both on-premise and in the cloud. And we have some customers actually that use an infrastructure where they have the Snapplex running on-premise, and as they need to scale, they scale out and cloud burst by adding nodes in a cloud environment where there is a virtual private network in place that they're actually using. They can just increase the number of nodes that they're using, obviously suitably licensed, naturally. That enables them to cloud burst with a single infrastructure. And we've seen that being used by some of the larger customers over on the East Coast particularly. And the connectivity, those snaps. We worry about the complexities of dealing with the APIs and how they evolve. It's one of the biggest headaches for companies is that you have to then keep up. If you build it yourself, you have to keep up with the changes in the API versions of the different applications. SnapLogic does that. We look after that complexity of the applications, their APIs, and how they evolve, so that you can concentrate on actually the data of your business. So that one platform addressing the real-time needs as well as the large batch. And one of the things I haven't mentioned up to this point is, in addition to the Hadoop Plex running as a yarn-managed application, we also can generate the MapReduce code that can actually run in that environment and derive that directly from that drag and drop user interface as well. So if you're using a Cloudera or a Hortonworks, we can actually be run in that infrastructure and give you that same advantage, being able to build the MapReduce task directly. Today, that's MapReduce. And as you can imagine, we are working on other execution engines. Hortonworks introduced the Taze technology. We work with the Taze technology as well. That's all automatically enabled through that environment, which you can take advantage of, is obviously in HD Insights. But also, as Spark is coming on stream, that functionality will be provided as well. The user interface, the whole idea is to make that a much more approachable environment. People can actually use this without being coders. And we see that at Adobe, for instance, have over 350 users of SnapLogic. When we take a look at the usage stats on their organization, they have over 350 active users in a week on the SnapLogic platform across their business. So that's very much a testament to how easy this is to actually take advantage of and use. In the Hadoop Plex, being able to scale out, being able to cloud burst, as I mentioned earlier, to add nodes to your processing infrastructure as you need them. And automating that is high on our list of priorities in the Azure compute environment as well. And that list of snaps, which is growing daily, the different connections that we actually provide out to different applications. Yes, it encompasses today the common applications that you see, like Salesforce and SQL Server, those kind of things. But as I say, we're adding those on a daily basis, Power BI being one of those, being able to push data directly using the APIs. I haven't tested it, but we have those REST snaps already, and I'm pretty certain that we can push that data to Power BI today. What we want to do is make it drag and drop easy, rather than having to know the URLs that you're actually going to use, make it just a configuration so that people can then just take advantage of it and build those kind of things in the speed with which you saw me build that pipeline earlier. So this is the only IPaaS, integration platform as a service, actually built not only for data integration, but also big data, supporting the major distributions, and you will see HD Insights appearing on that list. From a technical perspective, it's, yes, you can write the code that does this. And what we're doing is we're translating when we're going into SnapReduce, we're translating from that drag and dropped environment into MapReduce code in the background. But it's so much more approachable and so much more reliably repeatable. That's the important thing. Getting the data that is necessary at the right time to the right people. So, really, in summary, what we see customers doing is customers adopting SnapLogic for these different areas. One is where they're cloudifying, where they're starting to take advantage of more of the cloud services. Our streaming platform, we can stream data into different applications, including the Azure environment, whether that's into Azure Blob, whether that's into Azure Data Warehouse or Azure Database. Those we can do out of the box today. Increasingly, we will be then adding things like being able to stream into Power BI as well and make that real simple. That's we're trying to enable people to take advantage of this as quickly as possible. And that second item there, self-service, making it more accessible. If it's easier to use, more people are going to be able to adopt this and actually take advantage of it. And actually enabling the big data with the Hadoopplex running natively in that environment. And just about a month's time, we'll have our first production Spark release available as well. That's not an announcement, by the way, that's just... So, that's it from what I have. Next step really is to identify what it is, where we could actually help you, and what you might want to do. I think I might have just time for a question or two, if there are any. Can we customize the queries?
I saw a wizard, kind of, screen. Can I just type my query?
Absolutely. So if you're using one of the databases, whether that's something like SQL DW or whatever, you can use the pre-configured snaps that you just pull out the fields that you want, and that can be created directly, or you can create custom queries by doing a direct select statement and actually use that yourself. So can you customize the queries? Absolutely. Any other questions in there? Go ahead.
Is there an estimation of where when this will be available in the marketplace or on Azure? So where you can try it out, or can I somehow
You can try it today.
Okay.
All you need to do is go to the URL. There is a URL there, isn't there? Yeah. Come to the URL or talk to us, and we can make that available for you to try today.
Okay.
That's available today. Okay. All right. If there's no more questions, thank you very much for your attention. And don't hesitate to visit us. And if you want to contact me, I'm cstewart@snaplogic.com. All right. Thanks very much.